The path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Do you have a supportive inner voice? Are you like so many of us that you only hear the criticism? Do you want to stay positive about yourself and your happiness and your anything, but what nags at you is all that hasn't gone well? Well, if that sounds familiar to you, I know it does to me. I am really glad that you've joined us for today's show, because we're going to talk about how to neutralize that inner critic, and we're going to do it with one of my all-time favorite people. Hi, this is Cheryl, and I'm excited to welcome to the show Janet D. Thomas. And besides being a regular contributor to Simple Steps, Real Change, Janet's an author, a coach. She is an inspirational thought leader and a successful public speaker. And her Healing Emotional Eating podcast is heard worldwide. On top of that all, she is probably just one of the most inspirational people that I have ever met and a dear friend. Janet, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Cheryl. It is an honor to be here today with you. It's wonderful.
It's, you know, we always have so much fun when we have a chance to get together. But for those that, you know, because it's been a while since you've been on the show, so will you just give everybody a little bit of refresher on your background?
Sure. About the challenging stuff, yeah?
There you go. We've had a little of that.
Absolutely. You know, the challenging things are actually what have allowed me to come to what I've been able to understand about healing the inner critic and transforming the inner critic. Now, when I was a little girl, I experienced sexual violation several times with several different men. And I wasn't talking about it, Cheryl. I didn't tell my parents. I just kind of kept it in. And I figured that it was my fault somehow. And that's really when I started to keep secrets and just really being beaten up by my inner critic. And I used to run from it as fast as I could. For years and years, actually decades, and it just got to the point in my life where I couldn't stand it any longer. I had also experienced as an adult being raped by a stranger, and 6 months after that experience, Cheryl, my inner critic said something to me that I just decided that I couldn't stay on the planet anymore, and it basically said that if I wasn't here, that my two-year-old son wouldn't miss me. And my son was the only reason why I was staying on the planet, because I had experienced so much pain and so much trying to run and redeem myself. And it wasn't working out. But once I decided to stay on the planet, that's when I decided to heal for real. I figured to myself, if I am going to stay here, and I was very, very close to ending my life, and I decided to stay. And I'm so, so glad that I did, Cheryl. But what I recognized at that point was, if I'm going to stay here, I need to heal for real so that I can live a life worth living. So that was the gift in my breakdown, because I had so many breakthroughs after that. And I've been able to go deeply within myself and really not only understand my inner critic, but face it, and then help to transform it. So after I was able to do all of that transformative work myself, my passion is helping other people with a formula on how to go in and work with yourself so that you can basically live the life that you want to live. I came to understand that we have a tendency to respond to our behavior. We always want to change our behavior, but we're still working with our same foundation. If it's built on, gee, I'm no good or no self-esteem, your behavior is going to reflect that, or your life is going to reflect that. So in healing for real, it really is about getting in there and having a true regard for yourself that's authentic. And that way, it's a better attractor to what you want. And I learned that through a lot of hardship and a lot of just a lot of challenges. So I'm happy to be on the other end of it.
Well, and I'm really happy you're on the other end of it too. And I love that you mentioned Heal for Real, because that truly is your mantra. That's what you've been about ever since that I've known you. In fact, that's what the column is named, is Heal for Real, that you write for Simple Steps. But you've gone through so much in your life, and you have been barraged by all these external forces that played on you, because like you said, you thought that was your fault. And when you grow up with that belief, that doesn't just go away because you decide, like you say, you decide it's like, if I'm going to stay on the planet, I'm going to make it work. How did you manage to get control of an inner critic, or manage an inner critic that had worn on you for so many years?
Yeah, thank you for that, Cheryl. And, you know, I will say that as of today, as unusual or strange as this may sound, I don't have an inner critic anymore. Like, my inner critic is really my best friend. And I was able to understand how to work with it. So when I talk about healing for real, Cheryl, what I really had to do was I had to turn off all of the external influences that I used to use to beat myself up with, like I wasn't good enough. I'd watch, you know, TV, and I would look at other people. I'd look at print ads. I'd look at the internet, and I was always comparing myself to other people and what was happening. And it was always translating to my home base, which, since I was a little girl, was I'm no good. So I would be able to translate anything back to that feeling that, gee, well, I'm just no good. So what I had to do when I was doing my healing journey is I had to turn all that off, and I had to get to know myself. And one of the things that I had distracted myself from all of these years was running away from my inner voices. They were very loud. They were very critical, and they're all different ones. And I had to have the courage to face them. And there are a couple of things that I did that enabled me to do that in a way that we have a really strong friendship now. And I wanted to share a couple of those simple steps today that anyone can use. And shall I go on and just talk about them?
You know, I would love for you to, because I think that this is so important, because you've transferred a critic to a friend. And that doesn't happen because that other entity changes. It's because you've changed.
Correct. Correct. I think, Cheryl, a lot of times we have a tendency to run from our inner selves and our inner voices because we feel like we might be annihilated by them. You know, they may be saying some really critical stuff, and we're trying to run away. At least in my case, I was trying to run away from it as fast as I could, because you know what? Deep down inside, I believed it. And I was trying not to believe it. I was trying to talk myself into feeling better. And that didn't work, you know, because I did a lot of positive thinking, but that didn't work because truly deep, deep down, there was always that whisper that said, Janet, you know, you're no good. I mean, don't even try it. Yeah. Right?
I'm listening to you, and I know that, and you know me well enough, my circumstances are very different, but I sit here and I go, okay, this is kind of like the life that I've lived for a while, because how long have I believed that I couldn't do anything without Jack? Because my whole life was based on doing things together. What makes you think you can do things alone? You need whatever. So I'm hearing myself in exactly what you're saying, not as severe of circumstances as you went through, but I'm finding the same thing.
And you know what, Cheryl, and to your point too, I mean, pain and hardship is pain and hardship. And we all have our different versions of it. We have our stories about it. But what we have a tendency to do is to take challenging situations and then connect them to us like they mean something about us. Challenging things can happen, right? Okay, my beloved transitioned, or I really well versed at victimization, or, you know, I was adopted, you know, I didn't grow up with my parents, or my parents divorced, or, you know, I have challenges physically or emotionally. And those are events, those are experiences that, of course, are real, and we feel our emotions connected with those things. But then we go a step further and say, oh, because this happened, that means that I'm no good. Or because that happened, that means that I'm not valuable, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not deserving. And that is furthest from the truth. Right? We go that extra step that says, oh, well, because this happened, you're no good. That isn't true at all. Things happen in life. We have hardship. The point is to safely release the feelings that we have about that, but that is not tied to our value or our esteem or our being deserving to live a good life. They're not attached, but we attach them all the time.
I am sure that everyone that is sitting in the audience can relate to this. So, and I interrupted you before, so let's hear those simple steps.
Okay, well, these are the simple steps. The first thing that, and these are what worked for me, and I have found tremendous gratification in serving other people who have then reflected back to me that they work for them as well. And they've been able to change their lives in whatever ways were meaningful to them. So I'm so honored to have experienced this. So that means that I can be of service to someone else, and that means everything to me. So these are the simple steps. And part of it is to really be willing to turn off the distractions, even if for just a couple of minutes a day, to check in with yourself and to see what's going on. Without the TV, without the phone, without the internet, without other people, even if it's in the bathroom, if you lack privacy, go to the bathroom for just 5 minutes and just, you know, hang out with yourself, see what's going on. So the first thing is to stop distracting for just a little while every day and check in. And the next thing is to actually be willing to listen to your thoughts. Imagine that you are like the sky, and it's a clear blue sky, and imagine that your thoughts are like clouds in the sky. So clouds are always moving and changing and shifting. They never stay stuck. They never stay the same, and neither do our thoughts. So psychologists have already identified that we can think up to 60,000 thoughts a day. So if we can think 60,000 thoughts every single day, doesn't it make sense to kind of give ourselves a break on what we think about? Because it's going to change anyway.
I like the visualization of the clouds. And honestly, I've never heard that before, but it just makes perfect sense because they do transition. They move in and out of our view or our purview, as the case may be. So you know, that makes perfect sense because as we're sitting here going, okay, we're checking in with ourselves, that even if there's this negative thought that comes in, it's fleeting and it could be gone in a moment. And if we allow it to go, even better.
Yes. And it's a flow. I mean, our thoughts are always flowing. We don't remember what we were thinking 10 minutes and 13 seconds ago. It's gone. So I think that when we judge our thoughts, that's when they kind of hang around because we're attaching some negativity to them and then we feel badly about them. And I know, you know, we're in the age where we say thoughts become things. So, you know, be careful about what we think. But I see that differently. I don't try to censor myself like I used to with trying to think positively. I don't censor my thoughts anymore because my thoughts are just my thoughts. Just like the clouds in the sky, they're going to change and shift anyway. So I'm not going to be so, you know, trying to be so deliberate and not think certain things because the truth is, I mean, Cheryl, I mean, if we're telling ourselves the truth, we think about all kinds of things.
Well, and we think about all kinds of things. And if we sit there and try and say, I'm not going to think about, you know, pink elephants, what are we going to think about? Pink elephants. So
exactly.
The more we resist it, the more it comes back to us.
Exactly right. Exactly. So I would invite you to just let your thoughts be what they are. And let me just go a little bit more quickly into these next steps because I do want to get to that inner critic part because that's the next layer. I mean, getting comfortable with how we think is one thing. And to to recognize that our different voices are seeking acknowledgement and understanding just like we are in our lives. Like take for an example, let's say that you're having a conversation with someone and they say something to you, Cheryl, and you don't agree with what they say and you don't understand what they're saying. And then they say it again and you go, oh, I get what you're saying now. I understand it. And you might say, well, I don't agree with it, but I understand it. The other person feels okay because at least they were heard. At least they were understood and acknowledged, even if they weren't, even if there wasn't agreement. So like, let's say that you have, you know, an inner voice that says, oh my gosh, that thing over there is so stupid. I can't believe it. All you have to do is say, I hear you. You know, it's just looking for acknowledgement. It's like if you're in a store and you see a mom with a four-year-old, and the four-year-old is walking behind their mom and they're saying, mom, mom, and the mom is ignoring them. What's going to happen? They're going to get louder. They're going to keep getting louder until their mom acknowledges them. So they're going to keep getting louder. And then as soon as their mom turns around and says, Johnny, what? And Johnny might say, well, can I have this candy? And mom will say, no, not right now. And Johnny will be disappointed for like, you know, 10 seconds, but then he's going to move on to the next thing. He's not going to keep yelling after his mom because she stopped. She acknowledged him and she, you know, she heard the communication. So I submit that our inner voices just want to be heard. They just want acknowledgement. It doesn't mean we act on them. We're just listening and go, you know what? I hear you. I got it. So my two phrases for my many different thoughts and inner voices and stuff is, you know, I hear you, I got it. You know, so they all feel heard, they all feel understood, and we're just kind of one big happy family rolling around in here now, you know?
It really is such a simple thing just to listen to yourself and to listen and say, okay, let's just take note. All right, I hear it. I'm not going to obsess over it. I'm not going to live my life focused on that one single thought, but I've heard it.
Yeah, it's like, simple. Okay, I hear you. I mean, it wants validation, just like we want validation, that we matter, we're being heard. That's all our inner voices want. They just want a seat at the table and just to be heard. It's like, okay, I hear you, I got it. So here's where the inner critic part comes in, which for me was my absolute loudest voice for decades and decades. That was a pattern for me to run from and run from and run from because it was really big. And the more I ignored it, just like you said earlier, the more I ignored it, the louder it became. And it got so loud to the point where I literally almost took my life. I just couldn't deal with that anymore. But here's what I recognized when I had the strength or the desperation, actually. I mean, I was hanging to my life like hanging on a thread. So I was really desperate to stay on the planet and make it work. So I had to have the courage to go inside and not distract myself and just listen for a while and recognize that my thoughts were what they were. And with my inner critic, as I started to get stronger and release emotion that I'd held on to forever, I was able to face that critic and actually say, what's going on? Like, what do you want? What do you need? Like I actually confronted it, but not in an adversarial way. I just kind of said, okay, what do you need to say? And so it's kind of like with a husband and a wife. Let's say that a husband comes home and when he comes in the door, his wife is complaining. You're never home. You work late. You're not here. And so he's feeling like she's nagging him. Well, underneath her criticism is actually a positive wish. All she's really saying underneath all of the criticism is, I miss you. I love you. I want us to spend time together. That's underneath the criticism. So I would submit that our inner critic has a positive wish for you underneath the criticism. Now, one of my inner critic's biggest things was the biggest thing was you're no good. And the positive wish underneath that was, I really want you to be good. I want you to succeed. Like if you have an inner critic that says, oh my God, you just suck in school. You're sucking in school. The positive wish underneath, Cheryl, is I want you to succeed in school. I want you to do well. So if we learn how to, okay, because the critic's job is to be critical. That's its nature. Its nature is to be critical. That's how it sounds. But when we recognize that there's a positive wish underneath the criticism, when we're creative enough to understand what that is, then we can make friends with that inner critic because we understand its language. Does that make sense?
You know, it does. And it's such a fresh approach because we always hear about how we have to just ignore it or, you know, realize that it's not real. I mean, there's a million different ways to get rid of it. But what you're suggesting, which I really am excited about, is that, wait a second, hear it for what it has to say, and then think about, okay, what's truly driving this? You know, it's kind of like the parent that pushes the child to do better in school and is critical when they don't. It's they want them to succeed. They want them to be successful in their life and accomplished. They want good things for them. And that's exactly what you're talking about doing with our own lives, with our own voice. So that's such a unique and fresh approach that it's exciting. So,
thank you. Yeah, Cheryl, I have to tell you that, again, this is a formula. It's just a formula, and it can work for everyone and anyone. It's a one-size-fits-all. If you just put that formula in there, listen to your thoughts about judgment, acknowledge them. You don't have to act on them. Just say, I hear you. I got it. And learn how to decipher the criticism to get to the positive wish underneath. You can transform anything. The whole point here is to really embrace all the aspects and all of the facets to ourselves. And I'll tell you, once I learn how to make friends with my inner critic, to have an ongoing dialogue with the inner critic without animosity and without trying to squash it. I mean, we have a good friendship now. All of my passion was underneath the criticism. All of my fire, all of my passion, all of my desire to serve, all of my healing, it was underneath there. All I needed to do was have the courage to face it. And I don't think that we need to cut off any aspects of ourselves. I think we can use all of the power that we have. We just have to learn how to work with it.
Well, and working with it is, as you've noticed in so much of your life and mine, this is a lifelong process. This isn't I'm going to listen to you and then I'm going to move on, because that voice is always inside of us. But as you said, you made a friend of it because truly you both want success for yourself. You both want happiness. You both want to live this fulfilled life. You just had to listen to each other.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the inner critic. Our critic does not survive without us. And everything wants to survive. So it's in our inner critic's best interest to be alive and to keep well so we can just keep complaining.
Okay, well, Janet, you're actually cutting out here a little bit, and I hate to say this, but we're almost to the end of the show, and I don't know where this time has flown to. So before we have to tie this up really quickly, if you have one piece of advice for someone out there that is maybe just trying to let this all sink in about neutralizing the inner critic and making a friend of it, what would the first step be?
The first step would be to acknowledge it without judgment. Let it be there. Just acknowledge it and say, I hear you. I got it. First step.
I love it. And, you know, I like that you added to this without judgment.
Yeah.
Because that judgment just will throw us into a tailspin and keep us to where we're trying to get out of.
Yes, absolutely. It's just a thought. It's okay. It's going to change anyway.
Well, good. Well, before I let you go, tell the audience a little bit before you go about this amazing healing emotional podcast that you do. So, and tell them where they can listen in.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. So when I was doing my Heal for Real work and I wanted to offer something to others, and I thought to myself, what is the biggest thing that I've been able to transform tangibly, really, in my life? And I've been an emotional eater my whole life. I've been obese. I've gained and lost over 1,000 pounds throughout the years and a yo-yo dieter. And I had been at a stable weight. I've lost weight and I've kept it off for years now. And it's because I've done this emotional healing work. So I have a podcast called Healing Emotional Eating, and it's on iTunes and it's on Google Play. It's on Stitcher. It's out there and available. And this podcast is my offering to help those who feel imprisoned by food and eating and really want to reclaim their health and vitality. And I found that healing my emotional eating was first, before the diets and exercise, I changed my mindset, which allowed me to change my behavior. So I offer tools and tips and techniques, and I'm honored to do it.
And where can they find it at?
Let's see, Healing Emotional Eating is the name of the podcast. It's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, it's on Google Play. It's also on my website at janetdthomas.com. So there are lots of ways to access it.
Awesome.
Healing Emotional Eating, if you're ready to rock and roll, take a listen.
Go for it. Well, Janet, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been an absolute joy, as always, and we have to do this again a lot sooner than this time.
You got it.
All right, everyone. Thanks for being here with me. This is Cheryl Maloney. You're listening to Simple Steps, Real Change. And for the next week, listen to that inner critic. Listen to that voice inside and allow it to be heard without judgment. Have a great rest of your week.